Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Joel Coleman of the Starkville Daily News, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Joel T. Coleman joining you here on a Wednesday morning. We could not be happier to be with you today. Thanks for making us a part of your day at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts. We appreciate our listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We also want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. It is so cold outside. You've got to go get you some hot chocolate to warm your bones from Strange Brew Coffee House. And they got, it's not just hot chocolate over there. They got multiple flavors, all sorts of stuff they can do for you. It's not just your it's not just mom's hot chocolate. It's not just a little Swiss Miss packet with the marshmallows in it. And when they do have marshmallows, they're homemade.
Yeah.
They go all the way out. So check them out. And also check out our good friends over at College Corner. When you're looking for MSU merchandise, that's the place to go. If you're in the Jackson area, they have two locations to serve you. Over in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, or in Flowood by the Half Shell, or anywhere in the world, you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com and get the biggest and best selection of MSU merchandise. It's just getting closer every day, opening day. Tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, we will talk to Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball to get a head start on the Diamond Dogs. But you want to show up with that brand new hoodie, that new M over S logo wear, the place to get it is College Corner. Joel showed me a picture from an XFL practice of the St. Louis Battlehawks. And standing right next to each other, number 10, Jordan Tamu. And number 4, Nick Fitzgerald.
Nick took Dak's old number, Dak's new number, yeah. I guess. The
peace in our time.
Yeah.
So, I got a kick out of that. The Senior Bowl today, they were doing the measurements, and Shea Patterson had the smallest hands. I was like, that's just not surprising to me. Well, enough fun and games. We got to be serious here for a moment, because there was some tragic news that we will start our podcast off with, a little bit of a tribute here to a fallen Bulldog, Darunya Wilson. Name goes without saying, one of the greatest players in the Dan Mullen era and of Mississippi State's history, tragically lost his life today in a homicide, or not today, but earlier this week, in a homicide in Birmingham, Alabama. A guy who
I think it was Tuesday.
You think it was today?
Yeah.
You talked to the police department, correct?
I did.
Okay.
I did. So. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything that anyone else out there doesn't know. I mean, they're being pretty tight-lipped about it, it seems, a homicide investigation, but where I think you were going, and you're exactly right, I mean, Darunya Wilson is one of the most recognizable faces in Mississippi State football history, bar none. I mean, when you think of that 2014 going number one in the country, I mean, when you stick your hand out, tell me the five most identifiable players on that team, you only have to get two or three deep before you're at Darunya Wilson.
I would probably be third. He'd probably be behind Dak and Josh Robinson.
Josh Robinson and Darunya Wilson.
Yeah.
He is the most successful wide receiver at Mississippi State since Bumpus, I guess, right? We did the all-decade team earlier, a few weeks ago, and it was Darunya. It was Fred Ross. It was Chad Bumpus.
Yeah.
Talented wide receivers that produce big numbers and come up big. They hadn't exactly grown on trees for Mississippi State. Darunya Wilson was one of those guys. You could rely on him. You just think back to his highlight reel and some of the things that he's done. Some of the stuff wasn't even stuff. It was his highlights. I think of him. Here I am stealing from your cousin again, I believe. I think it was Steven that tweeted out about Darunya's run blocking and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he was excellent at it. He was fantastic. So some of the biggest highlights in Mississippi State history aren't Darunya Wilson highlights, but they were made possible because of Darunya Wilson. Yeah. You think of the catch that he made against Auburn where he's out there kind of like a ping pong ball and bounces off a defender and skirts away into the end zone for the touchdown, and State starts pulling away against Auburn. As Bill Martin tweeted, Davis Wade Stadium may have never been louder than it was that day with Darunia Wilson. He is just a guy that for what he did for this university, I mean, it hurts. Yeah. You know, and you and I got the chance, not that we were best buddies with Darunia Wilson, got to go eat with him or anything, but I mean, he was one of the guys that we talked to and saw somewhat frequently. I mean, Darunia wasn't exactly beating down the media's door to come talk to us all the time, but you know, one of those guys. And it's kind of weird to sit there, and I was telling Katie, she was sitting by me as I was writing the story. It's kind of weird to sit there and write a story about a player that you covered and kind of, not that you best friends with them or anything, but you see them and kind of somewhat get a feel for them a little bit, and you watch them out there on the field of play, and you get to see their career firsthand. You get to see them at practice a little bit whenever those were opened up for a little while, and now here you are sitting there writing a story about a guy whose life has ended at 25 years of age. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Is what it is, and
just a tragedy.
And I mean, your mind spans with what ifs. You know, what if he had made this decision? What if he had made that decision? How could his life have been different?
Yeah,
we'll never know the answer to that question. But it sucks. There ain't any other way to say it.
No.
And he'll be a guy that everybody that's listening to this, everybody that's listening to this, that's a Mississippi State fan, will forever hold him in a fond place in their hearts, I know.
Yeah, there's no question about that. That this is a guy that everybody will remember fondly, and a guy that you know, when you think about him, you're going to think about good times at Mississippi State. You know, the best times.
Yeah.
Some of the best times at Mississippi State.
What's tough about it, man? I know when a lot of people hear it, and I mean, I'm guilty of this too. You think of the on-field memories. You know, what you think of on the field. What doesn't come first to mind, though, and I guess maybe this changed for me in the last 3.5 years now that I'm a dad and whatnot, but, I mean, he's got a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's,
you don't think about that kind of stuff, yeah.
That's now probably – I mean, she was pretty young, I think. I don't know – gosh, I'm trying to remember how old she would be. I don't know if she's of age that she may not ever really have much memory of all of her father and that sort of thing. And, man, it's just tough, and there isn't any – in any way to sugarcoat anything about it, other than to say that he was forever going to be in our minds a guy that just so many great memories that he provided.
I always am not a huge fan of the whole thoughts and prayers thing, but it just is what it is at that point. So, you know, those his loved ones and his family, we're certainly thinking about them, and you know, nothing we can say or do is going to ease that pain, but, you know, we hope you can get through this and
teammates, the guys that played alongside
which
him.
Which has been an outpouring of on social media. I've been – two guys I've been checking. I don't know if they just haven't gotten word, but I've been checking Mullen's Twitter and Dak. And Dak is interesting because his Twitter is such a corporate – I mean, he does not really tweet much.
Yeah.
What he tweets is the stuff he's involved in. So I don't know if he'll say anything or not. And Dan – it looks like Dan was just in Africa. I don't know if you saw this or not.
For Tebow's wedding. Yeah, I saw that.
And so I don't know if word's gotten back to him or not, but interested to see what those two guys say. Obviously, two of the biggest, you know, influences with Darunia Wilson here at Mississippi State. So Darunia Wilson, dead at the age of 25, an absolute tragedy. And I say it all the time, man. You never know when that day's going to come for you.
Yep.
So just, you know, make sure you're as right as you can be when that day comes. So, all right. I hate to go from that into the rumblings, but that's just the way it's going to have to be. We got a lot of questions to get to and a lot of good stuff, hopefully, today. Jay Henry's got our first question. He says, for the rumblings, what did Mike Leach mean on Friday Night Lights when he talked about finding your inner pirate? Did you watch Friday Night Lights?
I did. Okay. I love Friday Night Lights. In fact,
correct me if I'm wrong. You tell me this is what I think. You know, when he meets up with Coach Taylor at that gas station, he's talking about that, and Coach Taylor's down at that point. You know, Pirates are not known for their give a blank attitude, right?
Yeah.
They don't care. And they just sort of go all out all the time, and they do what they want. I think that's what he was telling Eric Taylor there. He's like, you have you've lost your marbles, and you need to get them back.
Yeah. Philosopher Haydad over here.
I took some philosophy classes in college.
I don't think I can answer that question any better. I'm going to let yours stand.
All right. That'll work for me. So somehow Jay Henry got ahead of Justin Strawn, who hit us up at 4:10 in the morning. Wants to know, even though the women – well, we sort of talked about this on yesterday's show, so we'll skip that question. Mike Leach enforced a social media ban on Washington State this past season. Our football team tends to be pretty active on social media. Do you think there's a chance he does something similar if things get rough during the season?
I'll be honest with you, and we had this question or a similar one a week or two ago, and I'm not in favor of social media bans because I think you got to let kids be kids.
Right.
But if I was going to be in favor of it, I might would have been in favor of Mississippi State having one back during bowl season with the whole fight thing and everybody was out there. And I'm not calling out these kids at all. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, Alec Murphy had some things about the fight on his account. Willie Gay, who was involved in the fight, was out there tweeting about it. If ever there was a time to just tell your folks to just shut down your social media for about 3 weeks, that would have been it.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was just – you got these people saying this. I mean, you had people on staff that were tweeting about it even a little bit. I mean, that would have been a time to where you just put the brakes on the social media thing. So, I don't know. And State does have some guys that can be a little bit and it may not even always be football, but things that Kylan, for example, have tweeted before. Errol's tweeted some things before that just make you have made people go crazy. First of all, folks, these are 18 to 22-year-olds. They're not always talking about football.
They have their own lives.
Yeah. So, but I could see some instances where maybe Mike Leach says, "All right, guys, shut it down." Uh-huh. And I don't know what would have to happen for it to get to that point, but while I'm not in favor of censoring kids, there are times where you just need to tell them, I don't want to see you tweet for the next 48 hours or something.
I'm going to go a step further than you. I agree with you. I'm not a fan of that. I believe you should allow these, you know, it's part of growing up. You learn to take your knocks there. But I'd be surprised if he doesn't enforce it immediately. Like, when they start practice in spring, I bet it goes into effect then. And it'll be something, it might end up being something like a reward. Be like, look, you want to get back on social media? You got to earn it. You got to be able to earn it. You can't win. But other than that, no. Anybody who's on social media is going to have to answer to me.
I'll tell you, not just
they have social. It's talking about changing the mindset. That's you got to start with these kind of things.
That's what I'm going to say, man. It's about to be culture shock for some of those players, for some of the staffers that are still here. It's a whole new ball game
at
the SEAL Complex.
It really is. Another question here from Justin. I started watching Westworld last week, and I love it. Will HBO ruin this for me and all the other people who thoroughly enjoy it like they did with Game of Thrones? Do you watch Westworld?
I do not.
I have not. I have heard great things about it. The people who I am friends with that watch it, they love it. So if they are going to ruin it, I don't think they'll ruin it. I don't think they will because it's just different. This is not they're not borrowing from source material to make this show. So I think it'll be okay. I saw an interesting tweet about – I think Tom Ebel retweeted. He said – Game of Thrones was basically on television for a decade. It dominated pop culture. And then when it was over, that was it. It ended so badly that we were all just like, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like, exactly what
shows
happened.
Like The Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad.
People still talk about it.
People still talk about it, still make references. Who makes Game of Thrones references now? Nobody. So.
Band still plays it. They play it the other night.
They do. They do play that. Let's see here. Got some messages here, some mentions because of some poor officiating in a women's basketball game. I don't know anything about that. Butch Bailey wants to know, more fun to watch, Tyler Russell in the Mike Leach offense or Omar Connor in the Dan Mullen offense?
I'll say Russell in the Leach offense would be the one that I'd like to watch.
Okay.
Although Omar Connor would have been doggone good.
Let me tell you why I'm going with Omar Connor. Because Jarius Norwood had been standing next to him.
That's right. It's true.
And how good would that combination have been? I've often thought about that. That when they hired Kroom, right? Mullen would have been an acceptable choice as the coach, a guy who had been with Meyer, his offensive coordinator, and they were, you know, they had taken Utah to another level, taken Bowling Green up. It would have been a bit of a stretch at that time, and he would have been really young. I guess he would have been. How old is Mullen now? He's like 45, 46. So we're talking 15. He would have been 31. So he'd been really young. But it would have been – if they had just gone that route then. Or to be honest with you, I don't know that you could have gotten Meyer because he was just a year away from going to Florida. You know, he probably had his eye. He knew that some bigger jobs were coming. But
if
you had gone Mullen in 2004 when you had Connor and Norwood, what would that have looked like? Could you have gotten – You think about that first year Kroom team. Mullen beats Maine And he probably finds a way to – he probably beats Ole Miss. And he probably beats – remember that Arkansas game was close? That Alabama game was sort of close. He would have gotten to six wins, I think.
Talking about rewriting history.
Yeah, we really are, but interesting to me. Another one from Butch Bailey here. But Tyler Russell in the Leach offense would have been really fun to watch, too. I think he would have been really successful.
I mean, let's just be honest here. Pretty much anybody that can throw the football in the Leach offense is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And
I mean, Dak in the Leach offense would have been a lot of fun to watch.
And for all we know, given the opportunity, one of the guys on the roster here may be
could
fun
be
to
it,
watch. Who knows? We're about to find out, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We may not be. The quarterback may not be on the roster.
Butch Bailey asked, if you weren't a media person, even if I was, would you rather hang out with Leach at the beach house or Schaefer at the deer camp?
For me, Leach at the beach house.
Yeah, it's
and it's not even close.
It's not close. I don't hunt.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything against hunting. And also, if you ever kill a deer and you want me to eat it, I'll
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody in my family, for the most part, is hunters, and I used to hunt a little bit, but I just it's not something that I was ever just completely.
My dad didn't hunt. So.
I wasn't a big fan of just sitting in the cold at 5 a.m.
There's
and,
that, too.
And so that just wasn't my thing.
Just sit on the beach with a fruity drink and just let the waves come on. I'm in for that.
And kind of like you said on the deer hunting thing, I mean, I am perfectly fine with sitting there eating some good fried deer steaks, mashed potatoes and gravy, and having a good old time with that. So anybody wants to invite
If I'm going to hang out with Schaefer, I want to hang out in his backyard and let him cook me up some brisket. That man's a barbecuing fool.
There you go.
So let's see here. I want to address something here. I see Will Salmon wrote another article about Mississippi State. You're gone, Will. Move on. Cut ties. We've moved on from you. We got Tyler Horka in here now, all right? If the Athletic wants some MSU stuff, they can call Joel T. Coleman. He'll be happy to write them anything they want.
Well, as it turns out, the Athletic did call Joel T. Coleman because I talked to Will. Well, actually, he texted me about this, asking me some questions.
Unbelievable. You're part of the problem. Quit enabling him.
Well,
he's out.
Will's advanced his career a lot further than I probably ever will. So, I don't mind.
You stay down there in Florida and you let us alone. That's what I would say, Will Salmon.
I'm forever thankful to have Will's friendship, so I'm always willing to help.
I love Will Salmon, but I'm just saying. Steven Sprawberry wants to know, can a fan who thought Hallen needed to go be allowed to get back on the bandwagon? Of course you can.
Yeah.
Jump back on. Nobody's going to say anything to you.
People jumped off and on the Joe Moorhead bandwagon every other week.
Yeah.
Just depending on the day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Just and here's the thing. If he loses these next two or three games, you're allowed to jump back off. It's a fluid situation at all times in sports. All right, our friend Big Swole Justin Cole. After the successful AEW road trip, may I suggest a trip to Memphis for a 901 wrestling show? The venue features arcade games and every gaming system ever made, plus a full bar and axe throwing, plus a full wrestling show. I'm not going to lie to you, that sounds fantastic.
I don't necessarily need the full bar, but for the rest of that stuff.
You ever thrown axes?
And no, but I would be willing to do it.
Yeah. We might have to do this. We could make it. We may have made Thunder and Lightning road trip to the Bluff City. And we might have to do this. We're gonna look into it. We'll put it that way. Let's see here.
I wonder if we could like walk Big Swole down to the ring.
Now we're talking. I want to get involved.
Big Swole accompanied to the ring by Thunder and Lightning.
I'll get him more heel heat than he's ever had in his life. I'll be like Joel Gertner up on that microphone. Man.
I'll be out there just walking around the ring, strutting and wooing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about Bubba Ray Dudley in Philadelphia. That kind of heat, that's what we're talking about.
I'm going to combine like Jimmy Hart and Ric Flair and get the megaphone and just woo throughout
the
match.
There you go. I like where we're going with this. But I think he's a face is our problem.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't work.
We got to figure something out. Maybe we can go.
Well, I think I could do a pretty good job of making people hate me, and he could eventually just turn on me and just...
We'll figure it out.
Give me a big bump somehow. I'll go through a table.
Yeah.
We got to rig that thing up, though. We got to gimmick that table up if I'm going through it.
You're right about that. Another wrestling question from Big Swole. With the recent AEW shows that you attended, most of the stars came to my gym to work out while I was in town, including the great Arn Anderson. Why is Arn the most underrated promo of all time? I think Arn is underrated because of his appearance. He didn't look, and he'll tell you about that. If you listen to his podcast, he's like, I didn't look like a superstar.
Yeah.
I didn't look like Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan.
Oh, here's the thing with Arn Anderson. When me and Logan Lowry were talking about this actually earlier today, when he retired, whenever he had the big... You know, Curt Hennig, you take my spot, promo and all that. He was 37.
Yeah.
Dude looked 57.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think you're right. His look was part of it. He was always kind of in Flair's background a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That kind of hurt. He was always kind of in his shadow. I didn't realize until listening to his podcast, in his entire career, Arn Anderson only had one title shot. Like, he only had one title match in his entire career.
You and I are listening to the same thing, yeah.
So yeah, but he is incredibly underrated. When you talk about wrestlers that never held the belt, that are the biggest stars in the industry still. I mean, you think of DiBiase, you think of Piper, and you think of Arn Anderson.
Yeah, no question about it. Another three straight wrestling questions. I love it. Peyton Neely, who is the greatest wrestler of all time?
Well, it depends on how you want to look at it.
Okay, you tell me then.
I mean, if you want to talk about the most biggest box office kind of, it's either Hogan or Austin.
Right. That's not what we're talking about, though.
I mean, if you want to just talk about wrestler, Ric Flair.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels is in that conversation, too, for best.
I thought you were going to say Shawn Michaels. Flair is the answer to me, yeah.
It's one of those two. Michaels is my favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. I mean, just for the complete package, entertainer, whatever. He and Flair are my 1A and 1B, I guess I should say. So, yeah. Anyway, either one of those guys I'm cool with. But if you want to talk about who brought in the most money, Hogan, Austin, Rock, it's one of those guys, probably.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Next question. Andrew Miller. In 2019, there were 8 teams in the top 50 of the net that didn't get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. There were 6 of those top 50. There were 6 teams out of the top 50 who got bids. Q1 wins seem to play a big role in those selections. Do you think MSU will have enough quadrant 1 wins to get in? I'm trying to find states what they have right now for quadrant 1.
I think you can go to you might Google like NCAA net, and it's like on the NCAA website.
The net is, but it's not the quadrant 1.
Oh, it doesn't. I thought it had it broken down by like quad 1 wins, quad 2.
It does
wins.
Not. It has it broken down by like home, away, neutral.
Okay. KenPom might have it broken down.
Yeah, but I don't have a subscription to KenPom. So I found it. It doesn't matter. State's currently 57th in the net. The problem is right now they currently have 0 quadrant 1 wins. They have 4 quadrant 1 losses. Now, and they don't have any quadrant 4 losses. They have 2 quadrant 2 wins and 5 quadrant 3 wins. They have
some of this can fluctuate.
Obviously, it's going to fluctuate. And they have an opportunity this week. Arkansas is 32 in the net, and Oklahoma is 53 in the net. So you got some opportunities here. But State's needs to start finding some good wins.
Yeah.
No question about that. Let's see here. Logan Ledbetter, who is the greatest athlete to ever come through Starkville in any sport? Now, does he mean lived in Starkville or went to Mississippi State?
If went to Mississippi State is a qualification, Bailey Howell is up there.
Okay.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, for goodness sake, in the NBA. So. Yeah.
I would say, in just terms of being an athlete, Erica Bogard comes to mind.
A.J. Brown's up there.
If we're just talking about the city of Starkville, yeah, we're not talking about Mississippi State. We're talking about the city of Starkville. A.J. Brown is my answer.
Because, I mean, dude got drafted by the Padres.
Yeah.
And now he's playing in the NFL. NFL.
Exactly. Yeah. So, A.J. Brown is probably the answer if you're talking about Starkville people. If you're talking about Mississippi State people, Erica Bogard, Brandon McBride, is a been an Olympian, Anderson Peters for football. You know, probably Eric Molds is probably the best athlete ever for Mississippi State. For basketball, the best athlete, maybe Dante Jones, Derek Zimmerman,
Jamont Gordon.
Yeah. Michael Gohler, he played 2 sports. For baseball, I don't know about athletes here. Maybe Mangum, I don't know. But plenty of choices. Let's see here. J.C. Dickinson, if you had to choose a grad transfer QB between K.J. Costello and Chase Bryce, who would you pick? He says Bryce does have 2 years of eligibility.
Leach actually recruited Costello, didn't he, at one point?
I'm sure he did.
So, I mean, that.
I'm sure he recruited Chase Bryce, too.
He may have. I was just going to say, if he recruited Bryce, I wasn't aware of it, but he may have.
Yeah.
But by recruiting Costello, that goes to show he thought that he could run the air raid effectively. So, immediately, my first thought is Costello.
Yeah.
And apparently Costello has shown interest.
Shown the interest, too, yeah. So, I think the answer is Costello, because if you pick a guy with 2 years of eligibility, you're going to upset some things. Like, I think if you can get Costello and try to sell Schrader on what Keaton did last year, and say, hey, look, redshirt. and then you take over from there. But if you bring in a guy with 2 years eligibility, Schrader's going to leave. And the whole point, I think, of bringing in a grad transfer now is you want to try to stabilize that quarterback room a little bit. You need to get some red shirts on some guys, and you don't have them right now. JC also asks, I'm new to reading message boards. Is it usually as bad as I've seen recently with the recent coaching search and now defensive coordinator search? No. Oh, it's far worse. This is nothing.
Nothing compared to like...
Let Chris Jones visit Oxford and see what a message board looks like.
Yeah, and if you weren't on message boards and reading some of those after State lost at Tennessee...
Yeah.
I mean...
Let C.J. Johnson flip to Ole Miss and tell me what a message board looks like then. My God.
Bowling shoe ugly, to go back to wrestling references.
I like that. That's very good. The Bosun Bulldog wants to know, when people say Mississippi instead of Mississippi, which set of cricket letters are they leaving out?
Second.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Robert Templeton, why are South Carolina women's basketball fans so consumed by MSU? So I didn't know this was really a thing.
Yeah, but it is, apparently.
They are pretty quick to play. They're sort of like the Ole Miss thing, like not real rivals kind of thing, which is incredible to me. And it, like, there's so much respect between Staley and Schaefer. You think it would play off as there's a mutual respect. And Robbie Falk, our good friend, made a point about this, and I tend to agree with it. It's because South Carolina feels cheated when they won the national title, because nobody cares about that, because that was the year State beat UConn. And everybody thinks that's the national title game. And that's what it is, I think. They feel like they got slighted.
I don't know if that's what it is or not, but I've always said it's State beating UConn.
Yeah.
Was tons bigger than winning the national title.
It was. So I don't,
because there are people walking around now that don't give a crap about women's basketball that can tell you who took down UConn. They can't tell you who won that national title that year.
Yeah.
And if they did, they'd probably guess State, because like you said, they think that was the national title game.
Yeah. Brooks White wants to know where State's pitching rotation will rank in the SEC.
Whew.
I think
there's so much uncertainty with the ball. Are you asking the entirety of the team
rotation, or just the weekend rotation? The weekend guys, yeah. The problem is this. First off, you and I don't know what's going on at Auburn or Carolina or anything like that. But secondly, I mean, it's just unknowns with Sarantola and McLeod right now.
You know, the McLeod thing's interesting to me, because when I've talked to Lemonis and talked to the players, and there is a ton of just rock solid confidence in McLeod for a guy that hadn't thrown a collegiate pitch.
Yeah.
Like, everybody that you talk to is just like, oh, he would have been in the rotation last year if he hadn't got sick. Yeah. So he's fine.
Yeah.
It's almost like Saturday's just set with McLeod. So I guess it's rubbed off on me. I've heard so many people say it that I think State, between JT Ginn and Christian McLeod, are just fine on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And to me, it is that Sunday that is the wild card. But guess what?
Yeah.
Everybody's got a wild card on Sunday. And I think State with Sarantola has as high of a ceiling as anybody.
Who are the top Friday night guys in the league this year?
You've Kumar got Rocker.
Kumar Rocker, JT Ginn. Asa Lacy is back over at Texas A&M, correct? I believe
that's
so. Right.
And
Emerson Hancock is at Georgia.
Yeah, Nikhazy's at Ole Miss, right?
Nikhazy should go to Fridays for Ole Miss. Who's LSU's Friday night guy? I don't know.
Maybe somebody I should know, but I've
probably
my head
so.
Up.
Yeah. Oh God, the guy at Florida brought back a guy. I can't remember. I saw some rankings the other day. I think Florida was like 13th. I think people were sleeping on Florida this year. They played nothing but freshmen last year almost. They bring back a ton. They're going to be good this year. Watch out for them. They could challenge Vanderbilt. I'm just saying it. But the thing is, like you said, you know, Friday night with Vanderbilt, you're probably not beating them. Because they got Kumar Rocker. You know, he'll drop a couple games here and there. There'll be some night where Vandy doesn't hit as well as they should, maybe on the road.
Yeah.
But
lose 1-0, 2-1.
They'll lose a 2-1 game. But he's not going to lose very many. But State and JT Ginn shouldn't lose very many either. Let's address this narrative that's been going around that Zach Johnson asked about. Do you think it's off-putting to potential defensive coordinators that we already have defensive position coaches hired that they would have had no say-so in?
Well, when Todd Grantham came in, he didn't get to hire,
anybody.
Assistants.
Shoup had Baker and Buckley already on staff.
Yeah.
And Lukaboo had played for Moorhead. He was a Moorhead guy. He was not a Shoup guy.
Yep.
I don't know where this story has come from that defensive coordinators have to come in and just pick and choose their own staff. Never happened. I mean, think about when Mullen was hired. He I think Torbush was one of the last guys he hired. You know, he already had David Turner. Melvin Smith was staying from he was already here. And then I think Tony Hughes was already here. So, or if he wasn't already here, they had already brought him in. This is not a true thing that defensive coordinators get to, you know, the head coach makes those decisions. Defensive coordinator gets to work with the guys the head coach hires. So, no, I don't think that's going to be the case at all.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of wonder if like, I don't know, say Leach had hired the DC 4 or 5 days ago, while some of these things maybe hadn't been completely nailed down yet, maybe you get some input at that point, maybe. I don't know. But you're, like I was saying, like you were saying, it's, I mean, the DC usually doesn't get to come in and just clean house and do what he wants to do, right, kind of thing. So I don't know why that's kind of out there that they would. I mean, I would think if there's still an open position out there, and right now there is, right? I mean, yeah, if you hire a DC, there's still another spot
right,
to hire.
Right.
If that's a defensive spot, I would think that if the DC gets hired before that spot, he should have some input, right? A little bit anyway. I mean, you run it by him at the very least. So, but I mean, no. To just say, I'm going to hire the offense and I'm going to hire a defensive coordinator to hire 5 guys for my staff.
Never happen.
That ain't going to happen.
No. Let's see here. Next question from Uniquely Me. Over under 8 games for MSU football next season. Over. They'll play 12.
Let me change this question here.
Sure.
Over under 8 wins for Mississippi State football.
Eight is sort of the number, right?
Yeah.
I would say under right this second, just because I don't know enough. I got to know more. Who's the quarterback? Who's the defensive coordinator? I don't know enough.
Yeah.
But they have. If you said right now that they won all their non-conference games, they beat Arkansas, Missouri, and one other SEC game, maybe Ole Miss, maybe Kentucky, I could buy that for sure. Yeah. But getting into 8, now are they beating Ole Miss and Kentucky? Maybe not.
If you told me to lay it out today, I'd say 7-5.
Yeah, 7-5. What's the one expected loss that you think State can win next year? I think it's the same game almost every year.
Auburn.
Why do I like Auburn next year? They lose 4 starters on the offensive line.
If A&M,
all those big pieces on defense. It's here in Starkville.
If A&M is an expected loss, I think I may go A&M. Because A&M is not as good as Auburn,
buddy,
and it's
A&M,
in Starkville.
If A&M, so is Auburn, but if A&M is not good next year, there can be some angry Cowboys out there.
You're right, but I mean, I just...
I think Auburn's a better choice. I mean, I just... Malzahn's a 4-loss coach, so you got a chance to get him.
Yeah, but A&M's a team that State's played pretty well against in recent years. So
over under 3,500 yards passing next season.
Over.
Way over.
Yeah.
At least 4,000.
I mean, if Leach does what Leach does, and he's done it for 18 years, it's going to be over.
And last one here. How far do you think the ladies can make the NCAA tournament? Monday's game changed my mind a little bit.
The Final Four is very possible.
It's possible. It depends on the draw. It depends on where they end up. But they can win those games. Kevin Wright, more impressive in 2019-20, LSU or Liverpool? I really don't want to talk about the Premier League today. Rough day for my boys in Chelsea.
Oh, did they lose their derby thingamajiggy?
They drew, but they should have won.
Their derby thingamajiggy?
Derby. Stop it. Derby. Stop it with that. Stop mocking me.
Lost their derby.
I'm going to come over there. They drew, but they should have won. They drew. They drew, but they should have won.
Drew.
What? You want me?
I'd rather lose than drew.
Well, you get a point when you draw, at least. But anyway, Liverpool is the correct answer, to be honest with you. They are crazy good. Like, I don't know how they're this good. They haven't lost yet.
Well, I don't even remember the question.
Better LSU or Liverpool?
Oh.
Liverpool is the answer. I'm telling you. I know you don't know.
Yeah.
But if somebody's watched them both, it's Liverpool.
Big Man City fan right here.
I know you are. Huge. Y'all won today.
Yes.
Beat Sheffield United.
Yes.
Beat the Blades.
How did Jesus do?
I don't know who scored for you. I don't know. will the actual attendance of the 2020 spring game be more than the Abilene Christian game? It'll be bigger than the second half attendance.
Yeah, that wouldn't take much. I think so. There's a lot of excitement right now.
Yeah.
I think
I think there'll be 20,000 plus.
I mean, it may be like weather related though too.
It's also
Easter
weekend.
Yeah, if it happens to be just a cruddy weather day or something.
Yeah, but we'll see. Let's see here. The Pirates of Mississippi State wants to know, why do we as a fan base go from anyone who doesn't question the head coach is wrong to now anyone who questions the head coach is wrong? When did we do the first thing? All I ever saw on message boards was you couldn't question the head coach. When did that first thing happen? I don't remember that.
I mean, I guess talking about if you had to question Moorhead to be a cool kid kind of deal.
Maybe. I guess.
And you and I should know because we built a podcasting empire off of questioning.
If criticizing Joe Moorhead is cool, consider me Miles Davis. Right.
So if anybody can say anything about how profitable, well, not about profitable, but how successful criticizing Joe Moorhead could be, you and I,
buddy,
can speak to
you. You and I is in the criticizing Joe Moorhead business, and business is a booming. Congrats to Joe Moorhead, though.
Absolutely.
That was made official.
Really, like, we can't emphasize enough, and I think there are a lot of folks in the state realm that agree with us, mm-hmm. how much we hope he goes to Oregon and is just completely successful and just but racks up.
Somebody asked us a question about that later, so we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Brooks White. Joel.
Yeah.
With the Braves roster as it stands right now.
Which just changed, like, an hour ago.
So you got new information.
Yeah.
Are they the favorite to win the National League?
The National League?
Yeah. The National League.
No.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you got to remember, the Braves haven't won a playoff series in almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
So it's tough for me to sit here and say, oh, they're the favorite to get to the World Series.
Yeah.
Are they the favorite to win the East again?
Yeah.
I really do like their roster better than the Nationals, who will be their top
The defending world champions.
Well, I mean, the Braves won the East last year over the defending world champions.
You're right.
So, I think over the course of 162, the Braves have the best rotation of the two teams overall.
Okay.
I mean, they have a better ceiling, like the 1-2, Scherzer, Strasburg, fantastic.
Yeah.
But Soroka can hold his own with one of those guys. And, I mean, the Braves then have like a bunch of number three guys all the way down the list. So I think their rotation overall over the course of 162 games is better.
Okay.
I think their bullpen may be a top three unit in all of baseball now.
Must be nice.
And yeah, adding Marcelo Zuna to the cleanup spot, hitting behind Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman. I think the Braves are going to be better offensively at catcher now with Darno. Their lineup's pretty darn good now. I think today they are the favorite to win the East. Are they the favorite to get to the World Series? They're going to have to win a playoff series before I ever say that. Yeah. I mean, it's been 20 years, so.
Then for me, will the Giants ever win the West again so we don't have to see the Dodgers in the playoffs for a while? Well, I mean, somebody else could win the West, too. Yes, again, yes, of course. The Dodgers aren't going to go on a 50-year winning streak here. The Giants will be back, and it's just not going to be this year. I mean, it's probably not going to be next year either, but eventually they'll be back in. Daniel Ray wants to know. What do you got over there?
I was just going to say, them not trading Bumgarner and Will Smith at the deadline last year.
It looks bad now.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
But at the time, I was able to get behind it because they were hot, and I was like, maybe they can make a move to the wild card.
But I sat here after a podcast one day and told you should deal them. I don't care where they're sitting right now. You're not going to make it, and I should have been the GM for the Giants. Yeah. And then you'd be in a lot better shape today.
I guess.
Yeah.
Daniel Ray, in 1982, Key West seceded from the Union and formed the Conch Republic as a form of protest. Declared war on the U.S. by breaking a loaf of bread over the head of a naval officer, and then immediately surrendered. If Mike Leach was going to succeed from the SEC, how would he do it? I could see him, like, just going to Greg Sankey's office and, like, flip-flops on a Hawaiian shirt and be like, hey, we're not going to play with y'all anymore. What? We're out. We're not doing this
and
anymore.
And then there would be a 45-minute story as to why.
Yeah. And then there would be a two-hour story from John Cohen about why we are going to continue to play, and mainly it's because there's a $60 million check at the end of it.
Would he make somebody walk the plank or something? I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Let's see here. John Jeffrey Nelson. If you could pick one player in the transfer portal to go to MSU, who would it be? Well, who all is in the transfer portal?
Yes.
I mean, Costello seems like the right answer.
Or if there's like an elite receiver out there. But
I don't know that there is right now. So, yeah, I guess KJ Costello. What's a TV show, movie your kids watch that you can't stand?
You know, my kids really don't watch just a ton of TV shows.
Yeah, they're still so young, dude.
Yeah, really the only show that they watch with consistency is Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and Mickey Mouse and the Roads to Racers or whatever it is. Hey, it's me.
Hey, Joel.
I mean, I love some hot dog song now.
Oh, I know.
Hot dog.
See, my kids, well, my youngest, my oldest doesn't watch this stuff anymore, but my youngest still watches like those Disney, like the afternoon shows, the live action shows, which make me want to kill myself.
Yeah.
They are so bad. Like, the laugh track for terrible jokes. There's like just like a hint of sexuality happening that shouldn't be happening. And every time an adult opens their mouth, a kid has a smart-ass response for them. And I had to explain to my daughter in no uncertain terms that I don't need those smart-ass responses. No, that's I'm not getting paid to listen to you talk. So we had to cut that out. let's see here. David Boren, who was on your Hall of Fame ballot this year? Who was get snubbed and who didn't get it? Who will get in that doesn't deserve it? Did Larry Walker deserve it?
I think so.
I agree.
Yeah, I think they got it right.
The person who, whoever this is and didn't vote Jeter in, come on. Come on. It's so dumb. This whole thing of we can't let anybody get unanimous, it's just dumb. Who got in? Did anybody get who else got in?
It was just those two, I think.
All right,
it was
then,
just Jeter and Walker.
They both deserve it.
I think Andrew Jones is on the ballot. I think Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at what he did offensively, and I think Andrew's problem is he gets so penalized for his last couple of years when he was just fat and not able to perform. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
But, I mean, he was the best defensive center fielder in the game. And when you couple that with how many homers he hit and just, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not saying that he should have been in today, but I don't know. I'm also of the opinion, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. So if he'd got in today, he got in today, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. There's some other guys, too. I mean, you can make a case for Omar Vizquel. And
who wins the men's and women's Royal Rumble this Sunday? So it's so weird with the Lesnar thing, right?
Yeah. You're actually paying attention? I didn't think you were paying attention to WWE.
I'm paying I start getting back to WWE around this time when we was getting into WrestleMania season.
See, you have these kind of things, you have to think about who's the champ.
Which is Lesnar.
Which is
but
Lesnar.
But he's in the Royal Rumble.
But on
but
the other
belt
side,
is not on the line.
On the other side's the Fiend.
Yeah.
And who's
surely the Fiend in Roman Reigns is going to happen at WrestleMania?
Some point.
Right.
That's a good point. It'd be a good.
That's the match, right?
Yeah, but do you let Reigns win the Rumble? I don't think. I don't.
Reigns has won the Rumble before, so I think it's going to end up being Lesnar winning the Rumble, and then they'll come up with something where he's like, I don't know, he'll pick his own opponent or something. I don't know.
I like having a Rumble where I literally have no idea who's going to win.
Which is good. What about the women?
I don't have any idea there either. And quite frankly, the women's division.
It's Becky versus Asuka at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
right?
for the title. So
the which title is that? Is that the Raw title?
The Raw title.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then who's the women's champion? Is it still Charlotte?
Yeah.
So neither one of them are winning.
The answer here probably needs to be somebody like Shayna Baszler.
That's a good call.
Just let one of the NXT.
Is Ronda Rousey back?
No.
Could she come back for this?
Could.
That's somebody to watch then.
Yeah.
Won't be surprised.
And there
out.
Were rumors before, too, that Edge may return for the Royal Rumble.
Ooh. He wouldn't win it, though.
Well, I don't know. Like, he may be making a comeback. Like, he may have been medically cleared to return.
I hope that's the case, because Edge is one of my favorites.
That's rumors, though. So,
yeah. I mean, if Daniel Bryan got back, why not?
If Edge wins the Royal Rumble, though, I will pop.
Oh, sure. that'll be a pop.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you'll be at the house.
I've actually attended one Royal Rumble before, and it was the one in Atlanta
where
Edge returned from injury and won.
It was
and
thunderous in the Phillips Arena.
It was absolutely thunderous, and I got to meet Jeff Francoeur that night. He was sitting like two rows behind me on
that's,
the way.
That's
it was a big night.
It's awesome. All right, Joel, will the Braves dip their toes back into this Arenado situation now that the price more than likely has gone down?
Signing Marcelo Ozuna earlier today as we record this probably lessens the likelihood that the Braves will trade for a third baseman of any kind, whether it's Chris Bryant or Arenado or anybody. So I don't think so. Unless the price dips to something where, I mean, they just can't resist. But, I mean, you're talking about one of the best players in the game. I know it's kind of going south on the Rockies, apparently. That relationship has soured. But I can't see them dipping into any of that now. Because, crap, right now the Braves payroll is like over $150 million,
yeah,
which is like their highest in years.
Yeah.
So I think their highest ever, to be honest with you. So I think they're about done with the spending. And if you get a guy like that, you got to pay a guy like that. So I don't know who they could trade. I mean, to make it work financially. So,
yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they'll get him.
For me, he asked, what video game or games am I looking forward to this year? They're teasing a new Batman Arkham game.
Ooh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like PS5?
That's the thing. I told my wife, I was like, just go ahead and be prepared at Christmas that Daddy's getting an expensive gift this year.
There are two things that'll make me buy a PS5 day one. NCAA football 2021 or whatever that would be. A Batman Arkham game would be there too.
So yeah, I might be doing that. Also, speaking of 2021, you were right, evidently, about the
kid. Yeah.
Yeah, you ended up being right.
I actually meant to start today's show with that, and then we had stuff that was vastly more important than pointing out that I was right. But yeah, I think I was right. So
you were right.
I should have gloated,
right?
But I didn't.
Let's see here.
But for future reference, if there's ever disagreement, I'm probably right.
I don't know how I feel about that. let's see here. Ace Swenson, does the Pac-12's reputation as a conference full of defensive powerhouses scare you a little? Not so much Leach, but his defensive. I think he meant to say offensive powerhouses. Scare you a little? Not so much Leach, but his defensive staff. Are you worried about the staff if Leach just brings his Washington State guys over?
Well, you got to remember too that these Washington State coaches have never coached this much talent.
Right.
There's that.
It's like a catch-22.
Maybe the coaches would have been better at Washington State if they'd had this level of guy. They'd had Errol Thompson and Nathan Pickering and all the guys that, I mean, all the guys they'll have now. So there's that. I don't know. I guess I'm not too concerned about the whole. It's a lot of Washington State guys, so it's going to be the exact defense they had at Washington State. I guess I just don't see it that way. It just depends upon the athletes that you got, because at the end of the day, it's still a Jimmy's and Joe's game. You know, it's still a who's out there on the field, and I think State's talent is much greater than that of Washington State. So I think by that, these coaches that may have had some rough times at Washington State should have a little bit better time with better talent.
Graham Yateman, if KJ Costello comes to State, then how does that change your opinion on next year's team? Well, I mean, assuming everything works according to plan, I don't know, because, and this question comes asked a little bit later, and I'll delve into it a little bit more, but I don't know who's catching the ball. And you can have Patrick Mahomes back there. I don't know who's catching the ball. So I don't know how much it affects my opinion yet.
But then again, even if... We've talked about this on the show. I don't know that it matters who's catching the ball.
You're not wrong.
With Leach. They just have success. They just find success for whatever reason. So,
yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think he definitely is probably worth a win. I'll put it that way. Double A, Andy Atkinson wants to know. Sting is scheduled to be at the Mississippi Comic Con this year. The icon. Who's the next big name that would draw a crowd for 2021?
Who could wrestling wise?
For wrestlers, yeah. They had Foley and Flair last year.
I was going to say Flair.
So they got
Flair
Sting
is like multi generational, so he was a good choice there.
Yeah. Would Double A be a good choice there?
See, I don't know that he is as multi generational as Sting in those guys. But
what about?
I mean, like Goldberg. If
Goldberg would be a good choice, Hall and Nash. Either one of them showed up.
Yeah, but I think you're getting at the point now where, like, if they ran Hall out there on Raw or even AEW, a lot of the younger folks would be like, who's that?
They wouldn't know Scott Hall, you think? I don't agree with that.
When was his last, like, prominent role?
They brought him out for Raw 1000, and the crowd went nuts. Especially, AEW is not a good not good for that example either, because AEW is wrestling fans. There's not a lot of just people in there.
That's true.
He would be less known at a WWE show.
You may be really right.
You think about that AEW show we were at. If Scott Hall had come out, that place
would have
known
that. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah. Peyton Stewart. When Moorhead was hired, Trader was his guy and a throw-first quarterback who could fit his system better. Now it seems everyone thinks he is a run-first guy and Leach needs more of a thrower. Why has this changed? That's a good question. I think it's the kind of throwing we're doing here. Where in the Moorhead offense, it was more about down the field stuff. You need the big arm. Here, you need a hyper accurate quarterback. And can Trader be that? You know, I mean, I think he can be. He was accurate in high school. Last year, he 58%, which is, you know, considering what it was the year before, 51. It's very. I do hate that it feels like we're sort of giving up on Garrett Trader, you know, because this is the guy that. 3 months ago, we were saying could be the next Dak. And now we're like, well, he might transfer.
You know, the guy that I feel like I'm dodging the question here. Not really dodging the question. I'm just parlaying it to something else here. I don't feel like Keaton would be all that successful.
No, I don't at all.
At all in the Leach offense. Because and maybe I'm just slanted because of the times that I've seen Keaton both in practice and everything. But he just... I can remember Nick Gibson telling a story, and he was joking, talking about how Keaton had improved some, but he was talking about how, like, a year or two ago, they were like, kid, where are you throwing the ball, son?
Yeah.
Like, he just... When you talk about hyper-accuracy, Keaton's name would not be one that would come up. And so I struggle to believe has improved enough that he could run it efficiently. So I don't think he's even in the running. But I think Garrett, I mean, I don't know that we've seen a large enough sample size to declare it, but I think he could be pretty successful.
Yeah. Will Eubank, how do you feel about Crocs?
I've only owned one pair of Crocs. They were given to me, and they were Braves Crocs, and I don't think I've worn them but like twice ever.
I don't wear Crocs.
And both times I wore them, it was like at the house. I need to run back out to my truck or something and just slip them on. And yeah, Crocs and me aren't – I don't pull off Crocs very well, so I stay away from them.
Yeah. Scott wants to know, help me out. Which rock band is more overrated, the Beatles or the Doors? Wow. I mean, that's tough. I don't think either one of those bands are overrated.
I'm going to say I'm kind of a fan of both, so.
If you had to pick one, I have to say the Doors, if I had to pick one. It's because the Beatles are basically the template for every band that's come since then. So I would say the Doors. But it's neither one of them are overrated.
No.
I'm just having to pick here. Okay. Kurt wants to know. If you had to compete in an eating contest, Joel, what food would you pick?
Chicken strips may be it.
Really? Like, chicken strip eating contest. I think Robbie Falk could take you.
He may could, but man, I love some chicken strips.
Mine's also chicken. I go wings.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that I might say otherwise.
Corn dogs? I don't know. What do you like?
I mean,
ribs? You don't like ribs, so that's no good.
I'm not a big fan of ribs.
Yeah, we had this discussion last week.
I think I go chicken strips.
All right. Is Robert Woodard a legit first rounder in 2020? The mock projections seem to say so.
I still wonder if ESPN had that backwards the other day.
I don't know. But all I see when I see Robert Woodard is a guy who can hit shots all over the court, hyper-athletic, good defender, explosion. He's got explosive athleticism. He's going to be a good pro. I'm still thinking about that turnaround fadeaway he hit on Saturday night. Got the ball with his back to the basket, spun, put it up as he's fading away, and it went in. And I was just like, I said something to him after the game. I was like, that was an impressive shot. Like, when it left his hand, I was like, whew. And it went in, and I was like, man, that is a tough shot. It reminded me, Dante Jones hit a similar shot to that in the 96 Kentucky game. And that shot has stuck with me. That's a tough shot.
If State's got two first-round draft picks,
they should be playing better than they're playing.
Well, I don't know. They're playing pretty darn good now.
I mean, up to now, though.
Yeah.
I'm saying they should have been playing better the whole time. Chris Dan Griffin wants to know, does Reggie Perry go into the draft after the season regardless of what happens? I think so.
My guess would be yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Let's see here. Blake Thompson says, the last two football head coaches went through a major change regimen. Dan Mullen became a marathon runner, and Joe Moorhead did the intermittent fasting. Do you think that trend ends with Coach Mike Leach?
Yes.
nothing happening there. He's not changing anything.
Yeah, I think he's as stuck in his ways as you get.
Yeah. Blake Thompson again, what are your top three GIFs of all time to use? You know my number one is the Savage, the elbow drop.
Yeah, the Savage elbow drop.
If you burn somebody, I will give you the Savage elbow drop.
I'm not a humongous GIF user.
Oh, I am, as you know.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah. I love the Doc Rivers, like, what is going on here face. That's one of my favorites.
I like the one of the Jonathan Holder looking dude.
Kenny Powers?
Yes, and he like pops the folding chair open and sits down.
Isn't okay, that's not Kenny Powers, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I thought it was Kenny Powers.
I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Yes.
And he's like, he sits down to watch.
Yeah, it's like whenever there's an argument
like
or something
one.
On Twitter,
that's a good one.
He pops
like
the chair open
the
sits
Joker,
down.
And here we go.
Yeah.
I like to use that one. I use, that one I use from Star Trek where like it just zooms in on Picard and he's just standing there and all of a sudden he just goes, damn you.
Yeah, you used that one the other day.
That's one of my favorite. When someone's gotten me, that's what I like to come back with. So. let's see here. Chad Childs, how long do you think it'll be before Kendall Rogers realizes we're going to host? I think if after State takes 2 of 3 from Oregon State, we can go ahead and get on that train.
It's good for his business, though, to not know until like late May.
Again, it's what's best for business. All right? It's nothing personal. Brian May, who's a friend of mine, wants to know. I adopted a diet for Moorhead. I did. I did the intermittent. I've sort of tweaked that a little bit, but like today I only ate once, though.
Yeah.
Which I'm 1,000 calories under what I'm allowed today, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. And you said you had lost.
I lost 9 pounds last week.
Yeah. So,
see if we can keep that going. But anyway, what trait, quirk, or habit do you think what should we adopt from Mike Leach? We don't want to adopt his talking style. These podcasts would be 5 hours long. We don't want to do that. I think we should adopt some of his, you know, sort of, for lack of a better word, his, you know, laissez-faire attitude. And just sort of let it go. You know?
I'm generally pretty good at that anyway, though. For the most part.
Oh, you are.
Like, I don't get... I'll tell you what. I get madder at myself than I do anybody in the world. Like, I generally don't get too upset with other folks and things, but I can really tick my own self off at me. forgiving me and letting me let go of stuff is things that I need to work on. I don't know if Mike Leach is good at that or not, but if he is, that's what I needed.
Yeah. All right. Ray Campbell, could we ever see the transfer portal being used by athletes that want to follow a coach to another school? Or could a coach that is leaving tell athletes, hey, jump in the portal, I'll pick you up? I think the second thing would be sort of tampering. I don't think you can do that. But,
you know, I've kind of wondered that with MLB. Like free agent or MLB folks, it's like the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And you have a guy that's on the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Could you be like, hey, we're fixing to deal you at the trade deadline, but you're a free agent this offseason. We want you back.
Yeah.
Like, do they do that? Is that.
How often does that happen, though?
I mean,
the guy come back like that.
I mean, it's happened before.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they probably say, look, we can get value out of you right now, and then you can come back to us. Next year, and we've got these other pieces.
Yeah.
So we've improved, and you know.
So anyway, the transfer portal thing seems like a little bit like, hey, I'm fixing to be leaving this school. Go ahead and hop in the transfer portal.
I know that when Kiffin left Tennessee, Orgeron was on the phone with all their recruits telling them time to flip. But as far as which, I don't think that part would happen. But the other part could be, I mean, it could happen. I mean, if Garrett Schrader wanted to go to Oregon, my guess is they'd find a spot for him. But that said, and I don't have a problem with that. I have said this a million times. I don't care where these kids go to school. All right. If Garrett Schrader was a chemistry major, he could leave Mississippi State when he wanted to.
Yeah.
And nobody would say anything.
And he had a chemistry teacher that he really liked that went to another school.
He could change schools.
It would be pretty stupid to follow that teacher to another school.
But, you know.
But you could do it if you wanted to.
I don't have a problem with that. Let's see here. Alexandra Watson. So these crows have been on this water tower for over a week now. Send me a picture. My coworker and I believe a dead body is in the water tower, and that's why the birds won't leave. What is your theory? Well, does your water taste funny? If the water tastes funny, then you're onto something then.
Did your sink, like, stop up because a finger tried to get through the faucet?
Something's in the garbage disposal. What is that? I don't know. A ring? Is it your ring? No, it's not. It's just in there. It's a necklace and couple of bones down in the garbage disposal. I mean, it's a little creepy. There's all these crows just hanging out on top of the water tower.
Crows enjoy that for whatever reason.
Like being on water towers?
Well, yeah, like I've driven by. I mean, I don't know if I've seen them there for days, but crows like high spots, man.
Yeah.
It's like what they do. They're scoping out the scene.
Yeah. Yeah, crows. They're weird animals, man. Where are we here? Jonathan Robichaud. This is the question I was talking about. Oregon fans seem to be thrilled over their new offensive coordinator hire. I think he'll do well there, but I also can't wait to see if it was us or him or if he was able to change his play calling. Am I holding on to this too long if I check back next year? No, I think all MSU fans are going to want to keep an eye on that. And if he is successful, they're going to ask the question, what, why not here? And now, Oregon's got better athletes at the skill positions than Mississippi State does.
Well, I think the answer is going to be twofold if it happens.
Uh-huh.
Better athletes at skill positions.
Uh-huh.
And I just...
He's not the head coach.
He's not the head coach. But my third thing here is that Pac-12 defenses aren't exactly bad.
There's that too.
Maybe we just overinflate that sometimes. But I truly believe that the athletes in the SEC defensively and things just aren't the same athletes as they have in the
Pac-12. You're right. I agree with that. Let's see here. Brian Felton has a couple questions. Will Rufus Harvey and or Dylan Spencer end up in Starkville? Dylan Spencer is a lineman. From Madison Central, I believe. And, of course, we know who Rufus Harvey is. I think they both have a chance to end up in Starkville.
If I had to guess today, and I am guessing because I don't cover recruiting, I think Rufus Harvey ends up at State. But yeah, that's just a guess. And maybe that's me hoping a little bit because I think I'd like to see him there, quite frankly, after watching his high school career. And I think he would go there if he got the chance. So,
all right. How many interceptions do you think State will throw next year?
Who's the quarterback?
Yeah, who's the quarterback? If it's Costello, I might say less than 15. If it's not Costello, I'd say more than 15.
I mean, you throw the football 50, 60 times a game, you're going to have a lot of picks.
If you throw 60 times a game, even just having one pick a game is not bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you finish the year with 13 picks, you're probably okay.
Yeah. I mean,
you have two picks a game.
I mean,
that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 15 would be an over-under, right? Something like that.
Yeah, 15 and a half is where I would set the line. Who will have a better rushing attack, State or Ole Miss?
I mean, Ole Miss, I guess.
I would say Ole Miss.
Just because
they have more proven talent back there with Ely and Connor.
Now, whose running back has the most total yardage? That may be State when you consider how much State's going to probably throw the ball to Colin Hill.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of a single guy, yeah. But Connor and Ely are a better duo than what State has.
Yeah.
So, and then, gosh.
I don't know. Maybe Kareem Walker comes out there, guns blazing. We just don't know what they have.
By that same token, Ole Miss is in on this Zach Edmonds kid, who's the number one running back in the country, who evidently has a laundry list of off-the-field issues. But, hey, what do I always say? MSU and Ole Miss aren't getting the number one running back in the country unless he has a laundry list of issues off the field. So, excuse me. Let's see here. We got questions here from Trey O'Brien, who wants to know, we watched six freshmen play exceedingly well last night in the ladies' game. Does it seem to be becoming more expected for freshmen to come in ready to play early and play well, or is it sport-specific? I think when you recruit at an elite level, when you recruit 4- and 5-star kids, they need to be able to contribute early.
Particularly in basketball.
Yeah. Though. Yeah, you only have 13 players. You can't redshirt 4 people.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Yeah. I mean, if you get an elite offensive lineman or something, like Charles Cross, for example.
Different.
I mean, you can understand why he had to redshirt.
Right. But yeah, you got a 5-star basketball player, they're playing day one. Simple as that. Let's see here. Allegheny Boys tennis team wants to know, what would the over-under be of a typical MSU football game in 2020 if Mike Leach, under pressure from the Mafia, hires Peter Sermon as defensive coordinator? So we have the Leach offense and the Sermon defense. What's the number for the average MSU game?
87.
That's really high, John. That's higher than I was going to go. I was going to say 75 and a half. That's really high. Jeez Louise.
I was thinking like 45-44 final score or something like that.
Oof, that's brutal.
Like the Arkansas game in 15 kind of deal, although that was not a Sermon defense.
No. Lynn McLaughlin has a fantastic question. What would Eric Moulds' numbers have looked like in the Leach offense? I have an answer. They would look like Michael Crabtree's numbers. He would have had 80 to 100 catches a season, 1,300 to 1,500 yards, and double-digit touchdowns every year he was in that system. No question about that in my mind. Wade Jones, who I talked to earlier tonight, I answered his question in person. I'm going to answer it again here. Should 9- and 10-year-olds be allowed three steps in basketball before travel is called? Yes, they should. Buddy, you think there's turnovers in an MSU game? Come watch one of my daughter's basketball games. Every possession is a travel or a double dribble. I mean, I don't know how that they're getting. I told the coach tonight, I said, you tell the team, I will buy ice cream for everybody on the team if you can get them to spread out. If I have to watch three kids hovering around the person who has the basketball asking me, hand it to me, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, spread out. Get open. Pass the ball. Teach them something, for God's sake. Driving me insane. Like, this one girl's bringing up the court, her teammate is basically knocking it out of her hands trying to get it from her.
Well, do you know what the answer here is?
What?
We need Coach Haydad on the court. I don't have time for that. We need Coach Haydad.
I'll tell you right now, if we did that, it would be like Hoosiers. Like, I wouldn't allow them shoot in practice. Like, we're just going to pass. And, like, I would run a zone defense because I get tired. They just follow each other. They just follow the ball. Like, three people are sitting there wide open. Nobody wants to pass, though. Drives me insane. Like, teach them something about how to play basketball. I feel bad for the junior high coaches in this state if that's what they're getting in youth basketball. You have to completely teach them everything by the time they're ready to play 7th-8th-grade basketball.
Maybe next year they need to be the Thunder and Lightning. You and I,
oof,
we're out there together.
I'd get thrown out of every game. Let's see here. Where are we? Will Allen, in memory of the late Bear Wilson, your favorite plays of his in maroon and white?
The most memorable one to me is the touchdown catch against Auburn.
I agree with that.
Like, that's the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll tell you mine, and it's not a touchdown. But I remember talking about this prior to the game. When they played LSU in 14, I said, every year State plays LSU and the game is close, there's an opportunity to make a big pass play, and invariably MSU will bungle it. So they've got to make that play. And that happened. On the second touchdown drive, there was a play right after Robinson had the big run. So they're in LSU territory. Dak drops back, and I'm not kidding when I say he had a half hour to throw the football. There was no pressure on him. And he hit Dorunya over the middle for about a 45-yard gain down to the LSU 2. And, I mean, Dorunya Wilson in that play looked like he was going to be a first-round draft choice. Completely shielded off the defender, caught the ball, used all of his strength to ride the defender down for another 7-8 yards. I mean, just incredible. So that play, for whatever reason, has always stood out to me. That's my favorite drive in MSU history. I can tell you exactly what happened. They had the ball on the 2 after the goal line stand. They tried to run a quarterback draw. It got nothing. Next play, they threw to Dorunya, who just sort of went up and made an over-the-shoulder kind of catch on the sideline. The next play is the big run by Josh Robinson. The next play is the pass down to Dorunya, gets him down to the 2, and then Josh Robinson walks it in.
Yep.
I mean, that's the greatest drive in MSU history for me. 5 plays, 98 yards, and it crushed LSU. That was the end of the game. The game was over right then.
Yeah.
So.
Gosh, man, Dorunya, if he had a little more speed,
yeah,
he would have been a first-round.
I thought the whole time he was at State, I was like, this guy's a first-round pick. Like Kelvin Benjamin. I was like, he's built the same way.
Speed's the only thing he lacked.
The only thing he lacked. Let's see here. Okay, here's that question I was talking about. Alex Barham. Why is everyone worried about transfer quarterbacks? Because unless Spurrier Jr. is the best wide receiver coach to ever live, it won't matter who the quarterback is with no one to throw to. Are we going after Harvey or any other wide receivers in the class of 2020? They are going after Harvey. They flipped the kid from Ole Miss, who's a preferred walk-on, but he's going to get an opportunity, Trip Wilson. And then, they're going after some other guys.
Yeah,
I won't be surprised if they sign 2 or 3 more receivers.
And I won't be surprised if the guys that are here are have their most productive seasons ever because, I mean, when you basically are going to drop back and throw the football 50 or 60 times a game, you're just going to have more stats. Like, yeah. These guys are going to have more opportunities. You're going 4 and 5 wide every play. They haven't had opportunity like they're fixing to have.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can't be productive with this, then they stink. Fair?
I agree.
I mean, so.
Yeah. Last question here from David Wilson. Considering the high-level play from Matharu, Wiggins, and Mingo in a very hostile and difficult place to play on the road, is it time to get more minutes going forward? 35 minutes, they had 32 points, only one turnover, 6 rebounds. They were 4-for-4 from the line and 13-of-22 from the field. Yeah, I think Schaefer, I almost feel like times like Schaefer is using this year as like a giant long practice session for next year. Because like his rotations this year haven't made a ton of sense. They've worked. They're winning. I'm not going to question the man too much. But like there are some games where he's playing 12, 13 people. He's playing the whole bench. And there hasn't been like the consistency of, okay, these are my starting 5 and then these are the next 3 and then maybe somebody else gets 4 or 5 minutes here. But that said, those girls are making him have to make some decisions.
Yeah,
because you can't keep them off the floor too long. They're fun to watch too. This team, I'm telling you, that national championship is coming. It's coming with this group. I feel pretty confident in that. So we'll see. All right, guys.
Hey, there was one question.
Did I miss one?
I don't know if you missed it but it was tweeted at me and said it had been asked quite a few times in a row and it hadn't been asked yet. And I kind of want to know your answer to it. So
I wonder how I missed it. Okay.
Anyway. You have 2 dipping sauces. You got buffalo. Uh-huh. You got ranch.
Yeah, sure.
Which one do you go to first? Like, what's your okay. Dipping your wings philosophy here?
All right, so let's look chicken tenders. If I get wings, they already have the buffalo sauce.
Yes.
On. So I always go buffalo first. I want it to be the spice, and then the ranch cools it off. So I start with buffalo, and then I go ranch.
So you're putting both on there.
Oh no.
You're not mixing.
No.
Okay.
We don't mix our sauces.
Thank God, because that was what I was going to say. No. If you were mixing sauces, like I think those are, I'm not a sauce mixer.
That's what I have been known to investigate. I have been known to make a buffalo ranch sauce, but that's different to me.
Yes, like, when you actually stir it together.
Yeah, I'll take a ramekin full of ranch, pour some hot sauce in it, stir it together. Now I've got buffalo ranch.
Yes, I'm not a sauce.
But I am not a – I don't want buffalo sauce in my ranch. Yes. I don't ranch in my buffalo sauce.
I'm so – like, it just warms my heart to hear you say that. Yeah. Because I can't stand to have, like, mixed sauces.
No,
unless,
I don't do that.
Like you said, if you actually make a sauce that's
made
of both, that's
fine. I'm not going that.
If you got two sauces there, I don't want to see, like, buffalo sauce all up in my ranch or ranch.
I don't go ranch.
Buffalo
when
sauce.
I go to Zaxby's, I get buffalo and I get teriyaki. And I'm definitely not mixing those two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, we do not mix. The only time that – now, if you have wings and there's sauce already on the wing, you can't help it.
Yes.
But you're only putting it into the ranch.
Into the ranch.
Right. I'm not getting extra hot sauce on this. No, under those – what kind of abomination is that? All right? My grandfather did not serve in the Army, in the Marine Corps. In the Army and the Marine Corps, two different grandfathers, so that people could mix sauces, all right? That's the tyranny he fought against.
The reason that I wanted to ask that is because I really thought you were going to go a different way with that. I thought you were a sauce mixer.
Under no
And I was going to tell you how disgusting that was.
That is disgusting.
So I am just, my heart
who
is
asked
full.
That question? That's a great question. I feel bad.
I'm sorry that I can't remember who asked.
They must have just mentioned you. I didn't see it.
Maybe that was the case. And maybe that's why it hadn't been asked, because Brian just reads them off of his thing over there. So, but anyway, I thought that was a good question. Didn't realize we'd been skipping it. So
there we go.
Want to be sure.
Not a sauce mixer. Don't be a sauce mixer. Don't do that. Tomorrow's show,
that's our new slogan, Thunder and Lightning.
Don't be a sauce mixer. Tomorrow's show, we will talk MSU versus Arkansas, whatever happens there. Plus, our conversation with Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball. A little MSU Diamond Dog talk on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning. Looking forward to that.
You know what it's called whenever you pass that message along to somebody, making sure they don't mix their sauces?
What's that?
That's saucing it forward.
Good call. Good call. All right, guys, talk to you tomorrow. For Joel T. Coleman, woo! I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.